The Baker Street Journal is a leading Sherlockian publication written by the readers for the readers. It contains both academic articles and light, fun reading for any sort of Sherlock Holmes enthusiast. If you are a fan of The Great Detective and the other works of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, and you'd like to read new and exciting writings by Sherlockians, or even find information on how to get published in the journal, please visit their website, www.bakerstreetjournal.com.
Wessex Press, an imprint of Gazagine Books, is a premier publisher of books about Sherlock Holmes and his world. They are also our publishers for The One Fixed Point in a Changing Age, A New Generation on Sherlock Holmes. It was edited by several of the Baker Street babes and contains a foreword by Laurie R. King, the author of the Mary Russell series. Another brilliant book published with Gazagine Books is Matthias Boström and Matt Laffey's Sherlock Holmes and Conan Doyle in the Newspapers. If you'd like to know more about Wessex Press, Gazagine Books, or our publication, please go to www.wessexpress.com.
They call us the irregulars, but baby, we're always on time. Baker Street babes always leave the rest of them behind. So in Scotland, they send you home, you feel like you're losing your mind. If this quotidian world has got you crying, won't you two to one be mine?
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 75 of the Baker Street Babes podcast. From The Hobbit and Walking Dead to Pirates of the Caribbean and Supernatural, The Hillywood Show has created some of the most spectacular and well-known fan parodies on the internet today. And just 4 days ago, they released the much-awaited Sherlock parody, based off the BAFTA and Emmy Award-winning series BBC's Sherlock, starring Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman. Today, we've got the amazing human beings behind The Hillywood Show, Hilly and Hannah Hendy. Interviewing them today will be Sarah and myself, Sora.
Hello!
So, girls, how did you first encounter Sherlock Holmes?
Oh my god, back when it started?
Was the very first time you've ever... Any Sherlock Holmes, like, what was your first time you met this detective?
Oh, you mean, like, way back. I thought you were talking about BBC's. Oh my gosh.
Oh, probably when we were really little.
I don't know if we were... I don't know if
that
was really in our household at that point.
I know that at a certain point we would get some sort of Sherlock Holmes stories from our dad. Mm-hmm. He would read us a couple of things when we were younger, but like it never really went anywhere. He maybe read us three and we were interested, and then after that he just stopped reading it, and then we just didn't really follow up with Sherlock.
We didn't really get heavy into fandoms until mm-hmm. like The Lord of the Rings came out.
Yeah.
So that's when we were, you know, that was like our first, like, I would say, big kid movie. And from there, that's when the obsession started and the filmmaking started, and that kind of boosted us. So I wouldn't say until the 2000s was when we really, you know, started getting into fandoms. And that's when we, you know, of course, we found BBC Sherlock. And then we're like, oh my God, you know. Mm-hmm. So that, yeah, we really love BBC Sherlock. Because I've seen Robert Downey Jr.'s mm-hmm. Movies as well. But those didn't make as big as an impact as the newer, with BBC. Like the new version with...
The more modern version of Sherlock, I think it just really resonated with us. Hmm. It was really cool, and it was a whole different take on it. And plus, it's got Benedict and Martin. So.
That's all you need. All right. It's okay, then. Obviously, that's when you saw it. So, who's your favorite character, then? I mean, in any of the adaptations, or just generally, out of Sherlock Holmes, what character has always kind of really struck you?
For me, personally, this is Hilly. I don't know if our voices sound alike, so I apologize. Personally, for me, I think I can relate more to Sherlock. And so whenever I relate more to the characters, I find myself growing closer to them. Mm-hmm. Because nowhere am I like, and you know, I'm not really like Molly or, mm-hmm. you know, John or, you know, it's even Mycroft. It's like, I relate more to
Sherlock,
how he's more in his head half the time and less in reality.
Yeah, I find myself wanting more Sherlock when he's not on screen. It's obviously Sherlock.
Is that for you, too?
Yeah,
okay. It is.
I think you might have already answered this. So out of all the various Sherlock Holmes that you've seen and encountered, what's your favorite adaptation?
Oh, BBC's.
Yeah,
That's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easy for us, yeah. I was clearly. Like, well, it's silly to ask that now because they just said. Okay.
It's fine. Yeah.
So, finally, if you could sit down with any character and have a cup of tea and a chat, who would it be?
For me, Haley, I think I'd probably say John. I don't know. Maybe he's very down to earth and we could probably talk a lot about, you know, his past and
yeah,
find out more about John.
Find out more things about Sherlock, you know, like what he, no, like all his little, like his quirks and all those things where he'd be like, what does he do when this happens? You know, like, how is he? Because I mean, on the show, they only show so much. You don't really know every little detail.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be fun though.
I would say John. Do you have a different answer? Or are we just going to answer the same answer? I mean, the people want more.
The people want more. No, to be fair, we were just talking about that.
Really, like, I'm not really interested. Like, I don't know why. It's just like, I like Sherlock and John. I think Mrs. Hudson is adorable.
Oh, yeah.
But I find myself asking her questions about Sherlock and John.
So tell us some. So I've always been curious about this, but how did the name Hillywood come to be? Like, what? Tell me your origin stories here. Because prior to hearing about the Sherlock parody, I'd heard a little bit about you guys, but I didn't really, like, know much until I was sat down and they're like, you need to watch all of these. And I'm like, okay, let's do this. And I was absolutely positively blown away because this, like, in my head, I'm like, oh, this is gonna be some, you know, fan parodies. And like, oh my God, this is like movie quality parodies here. Your guys' work is absolutely brilliant. So how did you guys come to, like, where did the name Hillywood come from? And what inspired you guys to even do this?
Well, the Hillywood show started back in 2006. AOL, you know, when AOL was around, had a contest online that was advertising for teens to send in their own ideas for a web show. Mm-hmm. Basically, you had to, you know, pitch like a 3-minute sketch of what your show would be like for the interwebs, because back in 2006, YouTube was barely kickstarting and it really wasn't a thing. And a web series was, you know, was unreachable for the normal teenager. Mm-hmm. So of course we entered and it was just a really cheesy little sketch of characters interacting with each other. And it was basically me. Hannah didn't really have any ideas. I just told her to film everything. So when I submitted it, at first I was going to call it like the late night show or something like that, like a teenage late night show. And they said, well, no, you should probably involve more of like what it is. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I'm doing Hollywood characters. My name's Hilly. Maybe I'll just replace the O with the I and ta-da. And I just sort of left it alone. I came in third place for that contest. Mm. And, we started getting emails from the little viewers that voted for us, saying, hey, there's this new platform called YouTube. You guys should really check it out and upload like more episodes. I would love to watch it. Yeah. And before you know it, we were doing that, having fun, making it a hobby. And then all of a sudden it became really serious once we released our Twilight parody. Mm. Because it was no longer just sketches. It was like our first
musical.
Musical meets movie. And that was the first movie/musical on YouTube. So before there was just Weird Al, like music video spoofs, there was never a movie or TV show music video. So we were like the first to do it. And obviously that was like a big impact. And we were like, wow, okay, well, this is our brand. This is who we are. Let's stick to it. And so right when we were going to quit, God said, nope, you guys need to continue. And the rest is sort of history.
And did you guys have any idea how big this would become? I mean,
no.
This is amazing.
No.
I did not know I would be doing this for 10 years.
No, I mean, every time we release a new video, it's a learning process. It's interesting learning about the people that watch those TV shows or movies and how they respond online. I'm shocked with Sherlock right now.
Yeah,
we're almost at a million, and it's just kind of like, I was not expecting that. We thought we'd maybe make it to a million in a month. It's only been like 4 days. I'm like, what?
Yeah,
like,
no, we don't mess with the Sherlock fandom.
It's a surprise each time because I don't know. I guess we're just very humble people. A lot of people will see us as, oh, you're my idol and, you know, you're celebrities now. And it's like, it's taken 10 years and we're still learning. And we still work out of a home office. Like, we're not professional in any way. We're still learning. So it's always a shock to us because we never feel like we've made it, and we probably will never feel that way. Even if there was something offered to us, we'd probably still be like, oh, I want to learn more. I can be better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then for Hannah, I've always had a question. How long have you been directing and like producing this thing? Because Hilly, you said you kind of dragged her into it for filming. I mean, has filming always just been something you've done? Or was it because of this whole parody thing going on that you got drawn into it?
I know that me and Hilly have been dancing for many, many years. It's over 20-something years. So we've been into performing, but during that time, I was mostly a dance teacher. Mm-hmm. Like, I was dancing, but I would teach a lot of classes. So I think that really helped with directing and taking note of so many different things. Plus, I'm organized. I'm just naturally organized, thanks to my mother. And then as the years progressed, it would just be little things where Hilly would be 9 years old and she's like, hey, I'm filming this and you're filming it here. And I would just roll my eyes being like a 13-year-old teenager and film it for her. Nothing professional. I'd be like on a tripod. And then as we did the Hillywood show, then she asked me to be more involved because she's like, I can't play all these characters and I want to interact more. Mm-hmm. And then as time went on, we just started, you know, creating. And as filming went on, I had, I guess, an eye for picking up camera angles. Hilly was more into the tech side. So we both helped each other. And as time has gone on, I mean, as you see, I sometimes operate the camera, but I've handed that off to different like crew members or professionals like that. Yeah, because it's too heavy for me now.
But in no way do we say, okay, film us however your mind sees it. We are controlling the camera. We are basically saying, okay, this is the scene, move it to the right, and then you're going to, you know, angle it up to the right as Sherlock approaches the camera. Like, he never says, oh, guys, I got this idea of, like, a low angle of, like, your shoes.
No.
Like, this is all our idea, and we are blessed to have, like, a very talented camera operator, a very talented lighting designer who understand our language and who do what we do. Because a lot of people that would work with us, like, you know, maybe if they didn't know who we are, they would say, well, can't I have like a say in this? Why am I not like, you know, being the leader of this? Like, Cameron, you go, no, because this is the vision of the Hillywood show and we can't physically do all these jobs. We're very blessed to have an awesome like team of people that just understand. They don't question, and they just have, you know, they trust us and what the vision is.
Oh, very well. So now we came here to this BBC Sherlock, and I'm wondering, why did you pick that song of all the songs you could have picked? Like, why did you take Thrift Shop?
I know we just answered that question in a little article that came through the email because it's just hard to put down on paper and to really answer, you know, without you guys like, I guess, getting inside my head. But for me, I was looking for a song that would match the speed and the delivery of Sherlock's speech, like the way of his performance when he's, you know, deducting and how fast he goes. Like, it needed to be the right pace for him. We didn't want to use a slow anthem. We didn't want to use something that's very pop artist or, you know, would repeat itself, because Sherlock is all talk when it comes to, you know, when I was watching the show, I had to like watch it five more times to even now I'm catching, oh my gosh, I never even heard that part because he goes so fast.
Yeah.
So we wanted it to feel like that the whole time, that once this video started, there was no stopping. It was boom, 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 like the whole way, because if not, I felt like it wouldn't have been true to his character. So we had fun and try to make it look like, I guess, kind of gangster in some scenes. Just
done.
A fun take on it, but we needed a fast song.
And also, you guys did filming in London, which I'm very jealous about too. And it's funny because I was watching your guys' behind the scenes, and I looked at the dates. I'm like, I was there. It's funny because like on one of the days you were filming at Speedy's, I'd been there just the morning before.
Oh,
which I was like, oh, that would have been pretty cool. And yeah, I did see about the whole. You guys mentioned something about people thought that it was set log happening there.
Yeah, that's I don't know if you were aware of it, but it happened, I think it was in April, and it happened on Tumblr, and people started going like nuts.
No, it was in March.
It was in April.
We went to Dutch Comic Con.
Oh, that's right. Holy crap, it was in March. I was thinking about doing all the reshoots.
No.
Oh my God, no, that was the restaurant and stuff. Sorry. No, we did in March, and I don't know if you guys are aware, but there was like this whole rumor that they had started filming.
I remember that one. And that
was, yeah, that was even before, you know, the actual production started filming. And I guess we started some sort of havoc on Tumblr, but of course we were unaware of it until I got back to our little flat later that evening, and I went on and I was like, holy crap. And I got the biggest pit in my stomach because we had runners on set the whole time going and very nicely saying, please don't post these pictures until after this is out. Like, this is top secret. And I was so afraid someone was like, wouldn't care what they had said and had posted it because they had been so excited. But thankfully, there was only, I think, 2 photos taken, but it's so far away, you can't see who's who or what's what. And we were so worried about leaking it only because our productions are like 3 minutes long. Mm-hmm. Now, if we were doing like an hour feature like Sherlock, I wouldn't care if anyone saw me. But it's the fact of like, oh no, there's no surprise element and they see that we're here and oh no. So, but thankfully, nothing got leaked. We were very, very happy and we did cause a little bit of a stir on Tumblr.
Yeah. At least the thing I saw, someone was saying that the door is up. They're like, the door is up, the door is up. Oh my God, the door. Like,
Following up on the question about the song, how do you pick what you're going to do next? There's so much great nerd stuff that you could make a parody of. How do you come to that decision of this is the thing we're going to spend so much time on?
Well, for what's next for us, I know for a fact, because Sherlock was such a big scale production, we're going to settle for something a little bit smaller for this year. Sort of like how we did last year, we did Supernatural and then we closed it with a Hocus Pocus, which was, you know, not on the same scale. But it was still fun little production. So that's what we have in mind for the end of this year. Something that might look really cool, but behind the scenes, it's much easier to handle. And honestly, it's kind of getting hard now because we want to do certain things, but we're feeling like, well, you know, would the fans want to see that? Or should we just, you know, really trust our intuition and our gut instinct here? Because I know there's some ideas that we would like to do again that, you know, for example, let's just say, oh, we want to do another Doctor Who because we only did the 10th Doctor. So there's stuff like that that we're sort of entertaining of returning back to, but on a whole nother level because it has been a while for certain titles. But of course, we're getting requests for Suicide Squad and Stranger Things and Game of Thrones. And we're like, those are all big.
They're all big scale and whatnot. So, so Ozark was in there playing, okay, I'm not going to lie, when I watched the video, and it's in my reaction video, but when Ozark showed up playing, Moriarty is my favorite character in the entire world. how was it having him play Moriarty?
It was really, really fun. I remember I had reached out to him about it because we were looking to fill in Moriarty and then also Mycroft. And we had already been in touch with Chris Rankin about it. So we were like, maybe something could work out with him. And then with Moriarty, it's just kind of like, we were like, do we get a lookalike? Like, and we're like, I don't know. Cause I knew someone that could maybe work, but then I was like, wouldn't it just be weird if it's like you have Chris as Mycroft and then Moriarty's a lookalike? Shouldn't it be 2 special guests playing those roles? So we just kept going through it. And I was like, I know this sounds crazy. I said, but maybe we should just ask Ozric. I don't even know if he's going to want to do it. You know, then contacting him, he freaked out. He's like, I love Sherlock, like on and on. He's like, it's my favorite show. And I was like, how about Moriarty? And he's like, that's the best bad guy on the show.
Good, like, Ozric, good choice.
Besides himself. And so that all happened to work out as well. And he was available for the time we needed him. It was just a 1-day shoot for about 5 hours. And I remember I did tell him, though, I was like, we're going to have to do some transformation, and we did the hair and a little bit of, you know, just makeup and stuff on him. But other than that, it was really cool. He performed excellent. I told him to study the facials before we began. He did so good. It's hard. You're impersonating another character, but I was impressed.
I was impressed too. Dumb crazy eyes. I was like, yes. Get it, son. Okay, so going back to the makeup here, who came up with the makeup? Like, or who did it? Was it you guys or did you have another makeup artist? And when you were doing the makeup, what features were most important to emphasize?
Well, we've done our own makeup since we started.
So we did our own.
We do our own. I guess it's just, it comes down to who's playing who and who can get away with what. Because the thought was entertained, like, okay, well, since I've done Martin in the Hobbit parody, should I do Martin again? Mm-hmm. And then we were just looking at bone structures, and Hannah said, there is no way I can pull off that character. And I go, well, you got those blue eyes. And she goes, no, I would look really bad, and my height's wrong, and my face is wrong. And because we just go, you know, we go by jaw bone structures, we go by height, we go by nose and eyes. And if you have even a slight element, like 20% of that element higher than the other, you're assigned to that role. So that's kind of, you know, what happened. We did one makeup test each. Right before the shoot, we did one makeup test. Woohoo! She sent me her little photos, and I was like, you're so adorable. And then I gave her some pointers on what she needs to do, just shade her little face a little differently. And I sent her mine, and
that was so weird.
I still have the photos on my phone, and they look so bizarre because I didn't have the wig on.
Oh, God.
So
it
or something.
Yeah, it looks like Con or the hair like back in a ponytail. It's like this weird
Con, like a little.
Or whatever it was, but it did. It looked like Con, and it was weird. And one eye had a contact in, and one didn't. And I was like, this is so bizarre right now.
I don't know. Yeah, we're not really sure what needs to be emphasized the most. I guess it's just when you keep looking at your face,
everything.
It's just kind of like, I guess, a portrait. You just have to keep adding color or paint, or you know what I mean, as an artist. And
it's
you
hard
just keep
to,
working.
Yeah. It's hard to explain, really, but I guess, you know. It takes time because you're like, oh, I'm going to emphasize this. And you're like, okay,
that looks
the
wrong.
Rest of my face looks so bad.
Yeah.
So I need to do this. I need to add this. Like, it just keeps shaping. It's like molding
clay.
But I
was so happy because Sherlock only takes me 3 hours compared to Dean Winchester, who takes me 5.
Jeez,
so I was like the happiest person. Yeah, I was like,
she was
yay!
A happy Sherlock on set.
I was always on time. I was always prepared.
I was so proud of her.
Aww. And I had a little bit more sleep than usual, so that was good.
Good job. So, yeah, your wig looked really, really good, too. Did you do the whole twist and diffuse thing that Claire often recommends?
Yeah. It was just, we went to our wig designer. Her name's Marlene.
Our wig stylist.
And we've worked with her since, I think, one of our Harry Potter productions.
Yeah.
And she's just one of those that listens as well, takes really good direction, and just does like exactly what we want. And she did a really great job on the Sherlock wig, and we were happy because, you know, it's a human hair wig. So when you buy these things, you don't know what type of curl it's going to have. And you just cross your fingers that it's not some straight wig. So you have to like use a curl iron. That'd be horrible. So this little wig is pure natural little curls. And I was like so happy.
Yeah, it came out seriously, it was really, really good. I mean, it just seems like you guys have an entire team of people that help you make this thing amazing. Like, the set was, honestly, the first time I watched it, this was before watching the background, I thought it was I was like, did they get a hold of Arwell? Like, I was going to, like,
no. I wish.
That set was spectacular. I mean, how much of the items were, like, were they authentic? Because I believe in your video you mentioned Sherlockology helped you out. On the set, did you get any authentic items there, or are they all just replicas?
Well, pretty much the way that the set is created, every time you watch a production, we work with pretty much two set designers that we've known for a very long time, and we meet with them and we talk out dimensions, the height, the width, everything, and we say, this is what we want. And so we sat there for this one specifically, and luckily there was great photos from Arwell, so he started understanding, oh, the fireplace is here. Because, like, there's a whole bunch of bookshelves, and then the walls at an angle where the door is, and then there's the sliding glass doors to the kitchen. And there was a lot of details, but it helped him out. And then he shows up, and he started putting it together, but he doesn't set decorate it. He just pieces it together. I pretty much am there to watch every single step, because there's been moments where I go, what's that? And he's like, well, that's what you told me. I go, I said 10 feet, not 5.
Yeah.
No, wow. No, no, no. And I'm like, get your notes, because I saw you write down 10. Oh, you're right. Crap. Okay, I have to fix that. So it's like, I'm always there. We set dress everything, and pretty
much
he did
an amazing job.
He did such a great job.
The dimensions were perfect.
Ace.
Yeah,
flawless. Perfect.
So then me and Hannah spent countless hours.
I think we spent 2 weeks.
2 weeks of gathering, you know, ordering from eBay and Etsy and thrift shops and all this stuff to find these wacky items and intricacy and looking at blogs and studying backgrounds and where do you get the lamp and, oh, that lamp's only sold in Europe. Can we send that to Sherlockology so that they can forward it to us because they won't ship to the States? Like, it was so complicated that we had to order the wallpaper from London, but they won't ship out to the United States either. Yeah. So that's how, when we mentioned that Sherlockology helped, was that we said, sorry to do this to you, but we're shipping all this wallpaper to you. And if you can, please post-market it for us. So besides, you know, that's, we did everything with regards to the set, but they helped us get that little pink suitcase. Mm-hmm. So thankfully we didn't have to fly to London with a pink suitcase, which is just another extra suitcase in the many suitcases that we had. And they also helped find those darn numbers on the door. Because they couldn't find it forever. And
they wanted to be sure that the numbers, even if they were slightly different, they're like, oh, it's no big deal. And then they're like, wait, we can't screw in new holes into the door. And so they actually took charge of that for me, which was, I was really grateful. Yeah. And they had to speak with the owners of Speedy's to confirm the screw size, the size of the letters, like everything.
And they would give us a little heads up when we would say, hey, we're thinking about filming at Houndstour. They would say, oh yeah, that one's this far away from London. And I don't think you need this or that, or, you know, there's a lot of, you know, permission that needs to be involved. Like, they were there for us with regards to information and helping us for the things that we just couldn't do. But the set, you know, was a lot of work. That set was a lot of work, but it was my favorite so far.
It was a beautiful set too. I thought it was the real one for a.
I cut it out of my behind the scenes, but I almost cried. I saw it. Yeah, I was just, it felt so surreal. I was beyond. Because usually we walk on our set, we're like, okay, yeah, don't film that. Looks kind of like Play-Doh over there. But it wasn't. It was so real that anyone that walked on that set, it was just like their breath was taken away because it just, I don't know how. It was like a God thing. Like, I don't know how it looks like that.
I don't know. It was strange because we've been on other sets before where you find that your crew starts getting, like, tired or a little, like, moody or something, because on Hocus Pocus, when we were shooting that, it was so dark and it was so dingy because, like, all the brown from the wood was soaking up the light, so it felt like I was on this Disney set all day. And you know how you can, it's kind of like, I can only stay in Disneyland so long. And on Sherlock set, it felt like a house. It felt like shooting inside because the lights were angled through the windows and we felt like it was daytime. So we were all chipper and bright and eating our bananas and apples during our time and everything. And we're like, all right, everybody, back to filming. And we're all happy. Like, there was something about the set that, like, felt, like, very soothing. I can't explain it. Maybe it was the colors of the flat or something. I don't know. But it was great.
I always feel like it's, because when I had the opportunity to go on the set before, and I feel it's just, it's like coming home almost. And it's just so comforting and welcoming. You're just like, hey, especially being such a fan of Sherlock, you know, you're coming to this place that you, at least in the BBC Sherlock's case, it's something you see on the TV, and then you actually get to go there and be there. So for you guys, when you were
so hard not to fangirl,
you should have. It would have been great. But for you guys, when you were in London and you did go to some of the sites, is there any particular place that was your favorite?
Well, of course, the door, you know, you just get the feelings when you see that door. But it was funny because after a while, once we arrived, we were so stoked. Like, I had like the jitters. I was antsy. It was so exciting. But once we started filming, it was all, and I spoke with our crew about it. I go, did anyone feel like once we started, like, the set was fake? And everyone's like, yeah. I go, like, all that adrenaline, like, rushed away because you felt like we were on a fake set doing, like, a filming. And they're like, yeah, until we drove away and we were like, oh my God, that was real. Because, you know, you get so focused on what you're doing that you start thinking the door is the prop. And you're like, okay, well, we got to film the door like this. And, okay, well, the door is kind of crooked. Make sure the camera's like this. And you get so into the detail of it that you forget this is the actual place. And
we did almost know that we didn't have time.
We didn't have time to fangirl. And when we drove away, we were all screaming, like, fangirl! It was so cool. Like, it was so funny. But we I fangirled a lot at the pool.
Yeah.
Though I sweated my butt off, that pool for me, I got so many, like the hair on the back of my neck stood straight up. Ooh. I was so moved. I was like, this is it.
It was so weird.
Yeah, it was weird. In. Yeah.
It was so weird.
Yeah, it was really cool. And then when we went to Dartmoor for
that was just
Pound Tour, that was just, we don't see something like that in the States.
Yeah, no, we don't. We don't got views like that.
And I was so happy I found the rock.
Oh my God.
There was rocks everywhere.
There was rocks everywhere. We thought it was going to be like so easy. Like, oh, we're going to find that big rock Sherlock stands on because it's going to be obvious.
Nope.
So we were like, oh no, because the place is big and it goes around in a whole circle and you can literally film at any angle because the rocks are 360. And so you're like doing a dance around every rock. And so we like lost our crew. We don't know where our crew went. Oh, we kind of just went, we're like hiking as John and Sherlock in this windy area getting blown away trying to find a rock and screaming, hey, I found it! No, it's over here! No, it's over here!
Oh my God.
So, obviously, this is a ton of work. This is not, you know, you just go out and shoot it on your phone. So it looked like from the video diary, just the shooting took about 2 weeks. But how long does all this take? Like, you get an idea, and then you have to write it, and then you have to get all of these people together to cooperate and get all these permissions, and like how long does it take to write something and put it all together?
Well, normally for the Hollywood show, production only takes like 2 to 3 months, or I think Supernatural was 3 to 4 months. I don't really quite remember. But the bigger the scale, the more detail you put into it, the more hours you're adding. However, with a Sherlock parody, and you know, we couldn't say it once we started getting really delayed in our production, but basically we were awaiting the cameos. And you know, of course we finally got Steven. But that was one of the reasons why we were sort of holding off a little bit longer, is because, you know, you have to keep going back and forth to see if you can get approval, what can work out. Oh, this might be open, but we won't hear from this person till next week. And then also we had to do a reshoot, which then, you know, that you have to reshoot something, meaning you didn't get enough footage or it didn't turn out good. So we had to go back to the location and shoot. And then like one of the last cameos we did film was Chris Rankin, and that he wasn't in town until July. So there's like certain things that, you know, and it must be, you know, it must be that special Sherlock curse of just, you know, waiting and waiting and waiting. Because, you know, this is kind of like the first time it's happened to us. We were like, wow, I guess waiting does come when you do Sherlock. It's just part of the making of it. It takes time. But I think, yeah, we had 14 days of filming with regards to like pickup shots and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a lot. And then with editing, that was really hefty because of how many scenes
we had to go through
and then color grade and, you know, After Effects. And it was very hefty project. But we are beyond shocked of how many people have seen it. We have faith that the production looks good, but you know, you're only one critic. There are millions of other Sherlock fans out there and I'm not the only one. So, you know, I just make it how I like it because I'm a fan. Mm-hmm. I just hope other people click with it because there's a certain click that you need to get to understand it. Yeah. And I am beyond, like, all the comments have been so wonderful to read. And it's just amazing because I'm like, oh, well, you know, we don't have a cast in it, like, you know, Supernatural. Yeah. So, you know, I wasn't quite sure how it would do, but it's doing, like, amazing.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, and I see it being shared everywhere. I mean, you guys ended up on Radio Times. Even Sue herself gave the blessing of saying she loved it.
Oh, my gosh. I know.
It's amazing.
So, oh, my gosh. And it was a shame, too, like, how... Like, you guys didn't get to really chat too much with Steven, but how was it you got to direct him? And
he was super fun. Because I'm usually the one that's directing, but I know that Hilly was in there trying to make it fun. So when we were directing him,
he would come out and he would say his line. And at first it was perfectly done if we were in a quiet sound studio. Oh, yeah,
because we were in the middle of our San Diego Comic-Con party.
Yeah, there's Comic-Con people going on. So it's a little crazy. And then I remember Hilly came in saying, just say it a little bit louder. And he did it like 8 times. And he kept saying, like, should we do it again? He was having fun. Yeah. And he just wanted to have a good time.
And then I think when I told him, I gave like the last direction. It was like the last take. I go like, Steven, just pretend like you're scolding little children. I go like, speak down to us. Like, we're making a lot of racket. And then that's when he did it. Like, hey, Hillywood, keep down. It was very, you know, exactly how we wanted it.
Yeah.
So we were really happy. But I mean, hello, Baker Street babes. I mean, I wonder how that came.
Right. Yeah, it was just a come and get in game. No, that was a lot of fun, and I'm still very happy that I literally, like, we were about to leave. I'm like, what, quick question, Steven? And then I'm just glad that he went ahead, and Lewis as well too was such a sweetie pie and went ahead with
it.
I
know. I hope they liked it.
Oh, as far as I know, I think they did. And so with those reaction videos, when is it again that they're going to be over and you're judging and all that?
It ends this Friday, because then we start, we have to go through all those videos, but we give it at least a week from the release.
Mm-hmm.
So once we end it on Friday, we have to sit down and,
and watch them.
But I think we've already watched a couple just because it makes us like super happy. We've already found some really cute ones, so we can't wait to just keep digging through them, because it's like, it's almost like the best part of the parody is, mm-hmm. you know, watching people's reactions, because that's all we live for. Like, you don't understand how much we care what other people think. Like, we mm-hmm. are so affected by every single comment, and mm-hmm. That it just for them to say, like, the detail, the this, the angle, the costumes, it's like, yes. Like,
thank you.
Because you don't feel like you did it in vain, and because you put so much hard work. I mean, we cried, we had our fights, and this didn't work out, and that dropped up. Of course, you know, we don't post it all over the internet.
Yeah.
Usually it was supposed to be a positive thing. It's not supposed to freak people out. So, you know, this moment in time for us is like the best moment of like doing the Hillywood show, is just knowing people are happy, they like it, and your work is like mm-hmm. making others smile and laugh, because, you know, this is what we wanted it for. We would hate if people hated the video.
I think it was very well received, and so far the fandom has absolutely fallen in love with you guys. So aww. I would say very well job well done on this.
Thank you. I can talk, I promise.
I had one small itty bitty question, because I love the costumes, and I saw that it was your grandmother who was helping you out with this. The coat. How was it wearing the coat? The coat.
Nice and warm, huh?
Oh my gosh, the coat was awesome once we had it completely done. It's one of my favorite costume pieces because it's so well made. She really had the time to perfect it. She had a lot of run-ins with, you know, getting it just right and just the right height for me and adjustment. But it worked fine. I think it was actually much cheaper than what people think. Well, didn't it only cost like with material?
Well, the material I think was around like 120,
100 and something. And then,
And then to do it, then we pay her for her time.
But it was like really cheap compared to what all these people are like, £1,000 for this. I'm like, forget that.
Good luck trying to find the like one of them, because I do know that I think it's Sarah Arthur who's like, she collects those coats carefully because they do go through quite a lot of them. So the little quip in the show where he mentions that he has a lot of coats, they really do have a lot of those coats, because, you know, everything from Reichenbach fall splatter to, you know, just running around solving crimes, you know, it tends to ruin everything in there.
Yes, we took very good care of that coat, because we only got one.
Yeah, we only got the one. So there was no spilling and no eating with it and no this and that. So, but I loved it. It kept me warm. I was very comfortable, except when we were at the pool. I hated our costumes then because it was way too hot. Way too hot. But it was such a joy. Like, I loved playing Sherlock.
Oh,
it's so weird to talk about it now, because we've been keeping it such a secret.
I know. I feel like we're saying like bad things.
I'm like, oh no, I'm giving too much away. But wow. I played Sherlock. Yay, I said it.
Yeah, I mean, was it intimidating for you considering, I mean, Sherlock Holmes is played by many, many people throughout the years. So was there anything in particular that you were concerned or worried about that, you know, that might have changed the way you went? And likewise, playing John as well, because, I mean, these two, it's all about the chemistry of these two friends working together.
For Hannah, I don't know if she was that nervous.
It was just kind of to the point where we didn't want to hire somebody else to play the role of John. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw Hilly's vision. I saw how their relationship was, the little things between them, the dancing. I was like, okay, it has to be me. Like, there's no way that it can be somebody else because they're not going to understand every single detail to these scenes. Mm-hmm. So,
and how to deliver on
with that? Me, I wasn't, it was more of just, I'm just going to do my best.
Yeah, and I helped her through it.
And
she
directed me a lot, like the body language, especially. And I was like, thank you so much.
She did, Amber, I was like, no, you have to walk like Martin. And then you did it like way too over exaggerated.
Yeah.
I was like, no, that was a penguin. Do it again. And it was so funny.
We will never show that.
No, come on. Martin does have a distinct, very distinct walk.
Well, I'm a dancer, and he slightly turns his feet out just a little bit. He walks slightly with his toes outward, and I did it, but I'm more flexible, I guess, in my hips, so it was too much.
It looked like Mary Poppins. It was hilarious. for me, yeah, I was super nervous. I wish, you know, when I came up with the concept, I was hoping that someone else would play Sherlock, but you know, when it came down to it, Hannah's like, nope, you gotta play Sherlock.
No, I just told her.
And of
no.
course, because Benedict is, for me, he's my favorite actor of this like generation, next to Johnny Depp. I think they're both incredible. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, honestly, I know someone just asked me the other day, they go, well, how do you impersonate? Like, how do you like get into it? And I was completely honest. I go, I didn't know what I was doing. And they go, what does that mean? I go, like, I literally didn't know what I was doing. I just got on set, crossed my fingers, and hoped that this was the right facial expression because the makeup can only go so far. Mm-hmm. And I rely a lot on Hannah to say, what was that? Or yes, that was amazing. And the first scene I did was in the couch where I shot the gun. Mm-hmm. And I just sat there and I was like, okay, look lazy and kind of pissed off, like, and bored like Sherlock. And she was like, okay, whatever you're doing, it's working. So then we just kind of go with that. But I honestly never really know what I'm doing. Yeah. I just kind of show up and I go, I hope this works. And I just start acting.
There's no rehearsals. Yeah. There's nothing. It's just cross your fingers
you
and
just
pray.
Study a lot. Yeah. Hope that it shines through when you like think about it.
Thank you, ladies, so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Oh, it was an absolute pleasure getting to talk with you guys.
Well, we appreciate it. Again, we just want to thank you so much for like the support you've shown the video, and how much you tweeted about it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you guys realize, but every time you do post something, like the hits are going up and it does keep spreading. So like I owe you guys so much for you guys even, you know, reaching out and asking us to do this. And disclaimer, I apologize. We never really do podcasts. So yeah. I'm sorry if there's multiple and kind of.
Don't even like, worry.
That's what editing is for.
I apologize
for
that.
No, that's why we have editing.
And having a script. But we have to run because we have to go practice something that's secret.
But
thank
secret.
You so much again. Thank you.
No, thank you, ladies. You guys have a good day.
Okay,
you too.
Bye-bye.
This whole titty and world has got you crying. Won't you two to one?